The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything that you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure that you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drive so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads, so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. I've been so pumped to take a couple of friends with our road bikes to some of the trails nearby, and now I can bring the entire crew, my dog, and all of our gear with that third row. Learn more about the new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
You're tuned in to Heat Check with Trista Crick.
On this episode of the Heat Check, I'm back from Sacramento, baby. And I've got a first-hand report on the Kings and the Lakers. And goddammit, I didn't get to warm up on that beam. No beam for me, but what I got was a massive once-in-a-generation storm that just cleared out 300,000 homes worth of power, put 100-year-old trees on roofs right next to my Airbnb. So I saw some shit that was historic. I get into some drama surrounding LeBron. We move forward and we talk about John Collins, who has been just circulating in trade rumors since pre-pandemic, honestly. Like, he's had it. He's had it with the trade rumors. There's now trouble brewing in Brooklyn now that Kevin Durant has gone down with an MCL sprain. And, oh my God, what is happening in Chicago with Zach LaVine and Billy Donovan? Because no one seems to know the path forward. And, of course, we talk about what NBA player said he wanted to beat Skip Bayless's ass. Lot to talk about, Nick, so drop that generic beat. So I had the pleasure, the honor, of going out to Sacramento for the very first time. I had never been there in my life, let alone seen a Kings game, let alone been to the new Golden One Arena, let alone enjoy the presence of Casey and D'Lo, Kenny Caraway, Damian Barling, who are the absolute best. But that Kings game was some bullshit. Let's be honest. Like, Kings, Lakers, let's just, before we get into it, the pageantry, it was, I think, their eighth or ninth consecutive sellout. The fan base was rocking. We got there. We went to dinner right across the way. The way that it's actually set up is really cool. So they've got this Kimpton Hotel called the Sawyer right across from the arena. And all the players stay there. And it's like you can tunnel in, so you don't even have to leave. And I tell you what, when you know, and you're a woman, and you know where the players are staying 1,000%, the lobby was wild. Like, even pregame before the team buses showed up, I mean, there were girls basically naked out there in the lobby of the hotel, just sitting there, just milling about. It's like, oh, I know what you're doing. You're trying to catch a LeBron. You're trying to catch a Schroeder. Like, you're waiting. They had so much. This was like 3:30, 4 p.m., right? Game starts at 7. They're like, nope, I'm not waiting for the after show. I'm going to try to get them when they're in their pregame warm-up and warm them up on my beam. And they were, this amount of makeup that the women had on, it was crazy. Anyway, it's like maybe 100 yards from the entrance of the arena, which is fucking awesome. And they have these King's residences too. So there's like this, you know, frosty glass door, and it's like King's residences. Apparently, Domantas Sabonis stayed there for the entire duration of the season when he got traded there. Like a awesome condos, just very pimp shit. And so that was awesome. So we went to dinner, quote unquote. It was like the grandma special. We ate at 4 because the game started at 7. So we went and got steak at this place inside the Sawyer Hotel called Echo and Rig. Awesome steaks. They had like 9 different steaks to choose from. All grass-fed. Really great. Chopped it up with Kyle and Kenny and Damian. Then we went into the arena, met up with all the, you know, Big J journalists like James Hamm. And we got to meet I got to meet Deuce and Mo, who I've been on their podcast before. They're awesome. Give them a follow. It was just one big like reunion of people who have never met each other. You know, they had met each other. I got to see Phil Handy. He gave me a big hug. That was a whole thing. It was awesome. Got to be on the court. And then because we were just like 10 deep of journalists, like, oh, no, I love you. Oh, no, I love you. Oh, no, I'm a big fan of your stuff. Oh, my God, we got to get together. Oh, where'd you go in Sacramento? The security of the team. By the way, these are Kings journalists who have been there every single game so far. They're like, hey, you guys can't be here. You're too much right now. This is too much. There's professional photogs taking pictures of us. We've got like fans coming up. It was a thing, right? It was a thing. And Damian and Kenny were like, we do this every game. Like, we whatever's happening with you, they don't want this. We go through the tunnel. They're hardcore checking our credentials now, which, by the way, my credential, which was made out of paper, ripped off my wrist. So I had to just like show it like a badge. And they're like, just make sure you see it. So we all hung out in the media room, did our thing, go up to the media area, which is a great, incredible like view. They're kind of spoiled. They want to be down on the floor. But I've been in Staples before. They put you in the like 600s, you know, they like put you in the nosebleeds. So really cool stuff. But in terms of the game, probably one of the better games of the season, I would say. Back and forth and back and forth again. Final score, 136-134. So no defense was being played at all. De'Aaron Fox is amazing. Like, he's one of those players that you see up close and personal where you totally understand why he's better than you think he is on TV. In the fourth quarter, I don't know what he had in the fourth quarter. I want to say it had to have been 12. It was nuts. It was absolutely nuts. And he just couldn't miss. And the Kings got into this huge deficit. We're starting to freak out because we're out by the concourse and by the NBC Sports Bay Area little booth meeting fans. We look up and they're down like 9 or like down 12. Kenny's like, they'll cut it. LeBron's on the bench in the fourth quarter. They'll cut it to 2 and we'll see what happens. And I tell you what, Fox just took over. Insane. Also, we've got to give love to my man, Domantas Sabonis. He had a horrible, horrible night. And Sabonis had, what did he have? He had 25, 12, and 7. And he had 1 rebound in the first quarter. He was largely garbage in the first quarter. He got fouled out early. And he still had 25, 12, and 7. That's insane. He's so good. Thomas Bryant, though, this team, this Kings team, needs a backup 5. This is the most Kings talk we'll probably do in this detail, but I was there. So they need a backup 5, right? They need one. They found one. His name's Thomas Bryant. He plays for the Lakers. He gave them 29 and 14. He was making Domantas Sabonis look like a wet tissue paper. He was so movable. Domantas Sabonis is known for being so strong, so, you know, like Steven Adams light. And Thomas Bryant, can we just say, Thomas Bryant put up 29 and 14. He's not that good. He's a fine player. He had the second most points of his career that night. So he was a beast. Dennis Schroeder, the one who turned down $84 million from the Lakers, now is back on a veteran minimum. He had 27, 4, and 2. He had 4 threes, 4 for 5 from 3, 8 for 11 shooting. His drive is pretty much what sealed the game for them because De'Aaron Fox hip checked him. They called him for a foul. There's only 2 seconds left. And now what? What do you figure they're going to do? Like, it's the tie game. Dennis Schroeder now goes to the free throw line, but they call a challenge. They don't have any more timeouts now. And so Dennis Schroeder hits both free throws. You're down 2. You've got 2 seconds. No timeouts to advance the ball. I think they moved it actually up to 3.6 seconds. De'Aaron Fox actually gets slapped on the arm while he's shooting from 3 after that hip check foul. No call on Russell Westbrook. Just absolutely insane. And then, of course, Mike Brown after the game is like burying Keegan Murray because he had 0 rebounds. And that's like what he came there for. It's a mess. Like, the Kings right now, don't let the national media fool you, like me. In Sacramento, they are quietly worried. They are quietly feeling like the only reason that we are still here is because the Clippers are on a slump, 5-game losing streak. The Warriors are on a little baby slump, and the Suns are on a massive 6-game slump. In terms of Golden 1, I think it's a top 3 arena in the league. It's so insane. It's so amazing. You walk in the front entrance. I love stadium reviews. You walk in the front entrance and you immediately see the court. It's in, like, think about that. You immediately walk in and you're like, oh yeah, basketball is being played here. There's no walls or cylinders that keep you from seeing, there's not banners, but you know what I'm saying. There's not banners, but where banners would be, you can see that. You can see the rafters where the banners will be. You can see, like, the dip into the bowl of the arena. You walk in, and it's very much like indoor-outdoor vibes. There's windows that they open up in the middle of the spring so that, like, little birds can fly through, I guess. Sunshine, wind, noise. Who knows? Just fresh air. There's a bar up top that functions as a standing room only section so that you can watch the game while you're at the bar. Just a total meat market. I think it's Sierra Nevada Draft House, spelled like Drought House, you know, but that's how you spell draft, I guess. Anyway, awesome. LeBron James, amazing in that game. Just insane. But at the end of the day, no beam for me. Lots of trees down. Lots of power out. Went to a little speakeasy something after the game. Hung out. Got back to my Airbnb. No power. No heat, no power, no phone charging ability, nothing. So it was eventful, very eventful. Met some guys, one guy named Travis the Terror at a bar. It was awesome. I recommend going to Sacramento. That's enough Sacramento talk. Let's talk about LeBron James.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
A lot of rumors surrounding LeBron James. Tons of them. We got to get to the bottom of what's real. Because it was awesome seeing LeBron James as a Laker. That was my very first time seeing him in purple and gold. He's probably better than I've seen him in a long time. Going to the rack, not settling for jumpers, impossible to stop, just a freight train. I mean, he's been doing this too. I think he's probably better now than he is in his rookie season. That's crazy. He's better now than he was in his rookie season. So just before the game against Sacramento, LeBron was interviewed in an article in The Athletic that claimed he was growing impatient with the Lakers' lack of action in the trade market, in the trade front. So he ends this interview. It's a full back and forth where he's playing cat and mouse with one of the Athletic reporters, who will not be named. And in the back and forth, he ends the interview. LeBron James ends the interview and says, y'all know what the fuck should be happening. I don't need to talk to you. Because they're trying to prod him. Hey, do you wish they would do more? Do you wish they would do more? And he's like, listen, it's not my job to make them do more. And they're like, well, but you're playing so well. Like, what do you think? You're sort of still in your prime, your championship window. And he's like, dude, just get off me, get off me. And at the end of the interview, he says, y'all know what the fuck they need to do. Like, just get, I don't need to talk to you. So then they publish the article. And in response to the article, because the headline was like, LeBron's patience is waning. He says, actually, my patience, he quote tweets the article, by the way. I think by the reporter, he quote tweets the reporter, which is always a great sign. I think there's 6,000 quote tweets. And he goes, actually, my patience isn't waning. You make it sound like I'm frustrated when I'm really not. I told you over and over, my job is focused on the guys in the locker room. My job isn't on the roster. That's the reality of that conversation. And I said what I said with the utmost respect and calmness, because that's the mood I'm in. You're welcome. 5-game winning streak. Smiley face, laughing emoji, wink emoji. Case closed, right? That's the case closed. It's over. No drama. LeBron wants to stay in LA and everything's fine. He's happy with the lack of action. Nothing's happening. No one's going to trade for him. Nothing, right? This is the end of the segment. Well, it's not this league without this league, right? You don't know the NBA if you don't think that GMs didn't see that article and say, let's just make a callie call. Let's just ring, ring. Just do a little phone conversation. Because the rumors today were full of GMs preparing for a LeBron trade. According to Sean Devaney at Heavy.com, multiple teams are preparing for exactly that, a LeBron trade. Let's break down this rumor. Devaney wrote, the notion of any team fortunate enough to employ LeBron James in a trade sounds ludicrous. But if circumstances around James's current team, the Lakers, continue on their current path, that could be the next step for James. According to executives around the league, multiple teams are preparing for the possibility that James will seek to force a trade this summer, as he, having just turned 38, looks to finish his career in a winning environment. And unlike this past offseason, in which teams were blindsided by the trade demand lodged by star forward Kevin Durant on the eve of free agency, front offices around the NBA will be prepared for James's potential move. Everyone was stunned when Kevin Durant asked for a trade. They couldn't even make it happen. They weren't in preparation mode. They didn't know a star was going to be available, so they didn't have assets or cap space or anything. They're like, fuck, I didn't know Kevin Durant could be available. You're Phoenix and you're like, damn, short of Devin Booker, we can't do shit. No, that's not going to happen this time. And you know what? I hate to say I saw it coming, but I did. The second this Westbrook trade went sideways, LeBron was either going to never make the playoffs ever again, that team would need a complete restart, and he would be in hell in the most beautiful weather environment possible. Or he'd be like, let me get the fuck out of here. Let me get the hell out of Dodge. Because there's just no way he could spend the rest of his career in, like, the goal being the play-in tournament. His goal now is the play-in tournament. That's where it is. That's just the facts. And the problem, of course, is that's Rob Pelinka's fault. The Lakers have no more aces in the hole. They have 2 first-round picks that they are refusing to trade. And fair enough, because it's probably not going to take them over the hump, right? They're not going to be a contender if they do that. Now they're just even more fucked for the next year. It's kind of a no-win situation, a hole that they've dug themselves into. And at this point, you might not even be able to get Buddy Hield and Miles Turner anymore for the 2 first-round picks that it was going to require. Because Buddy Hield is playing awesome. Miles Turner is playing awesome. An executive for the Eastern Conference contender says this. That is the most likely thing if he wants to end on a good note. The most likely scenario is to go back to Cleveland one last time. I'm coming home, I'm coming home. It is a good team. You can win, and it's where it all started. No one's going to hate them for going to Cleveland again. The trick is getting the numbers to match up. If you could do something with Kevin Love's contract, that could be key. Pause. What? That is... Well, I think last year during the All-Star break, he started to put the breadcrumbs out in the ether about how much he appreciates Kobe Altman, how much he loves what J.B. Bickerstaff is doing. But so much of this obviously is impacted by where LeBron James Jr. lands, Bronny. And I doubt that Bronny wants to be spending the beginning of his career in Cleveland. Ask LeBron Sr. how Cleveland is when you're single, young, rich. It's not great. It's not a great destination, truthfully. There is another option out there, according to a Western Conference exec. If there is a bidding war going on at some point, this is where it gets really interesting for a very important team, our team. There's a bidding war going on at some point. The Warriors are in a great position because they can give you the young guys. Wiseman, Kuminga, Moody, Pat Baldwin. I can't believe Pat Baldwin's thrown in there. Whoever the Lakers want. But you have to either add Jordan Poole or Andrew Wiggins, and that's not easy. Pause. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. For our dubs, I'll give everybody. I'll give Poole. I'll give Wiggins. I'll give Wiseman. You can have them all. You can have them all. We'll take LeBron for our dubs, get another chip. You know what I mean? Just continue the dominance. But if they want to win now, you can give up Poole if you're getting back LeBron, he says. If they keep Draymond and come back with Steph, Klay, Draymond, and LeBron, that would be a fun, fun team to watch. There would not be a possibility that average people could afford tickets to go to those games. No one would be. I mean, they would be sold out months in advance. The nosebleeds would be like $600. Courtside, like Taylor Swift concert tickets. It's like $30,000 a ticket for a courtside show of Steph and Braun, even for 1 year. Oh, my God. I don't think the Warriors could pull the trigger fast enough. If Steph and Braun, and it's fitting because they've been basically warring this whole time, right? The first 10 years of LeBron's career, 12 years or whatever it was, he just threw subtle shade shots at Steph. Steph kind of went back and forth. It was all very low-key, nothing above the ground, but you knew there was like this little mini rivalry. If they come together, they will be in spot. It's like, I don't even know. I don't have words for it. This team would break every attendance record in every arena, every single game. It would be like Kobe and MJ or Bird and Magic playing on the same fucking team in their prime years. It would transcend a super team. It would be super, super team. And somehow, if you add Bronny James in the mix, maybe you keep LeBron there for well past his prime. It doesn't matter. If Joe Lacob is paying $500 million with the luxury tax, our dubs still swimming in money. You raise the prices. You raise the popcorn. You raise the drinks. You raise the parking. You raise everything. Everything changes. Championships ensue. KD was the story last offseason. Is LeBron going to be the story this offseason? If so, I cannot wait.